Have you missed me? Well, as you probably noticed, the White Wall 5 Minutes with Team has been on a brief hiatus, but we're back now with a brand new season and a brand new opportunity to start having more interesting conversations with interesting people. Now, you know, sometimes when you meet someone and you don't know them for very long, but you feel you've known them for a lot longer, well, that's very much what happened with our guest today. Beth Johnson, the CEO of Umbrella. And it's true, Beth, we really have only just met, but it does feel much longer, doesn't it?
It does. It does. It really has only been since Christmas, a Christmas party, actually.
From little acorns, great oaks grow. So, Beth, for those of our listeners who aren't familiar with Umbrella, tell us a little bit more about your business and what you do.
Well, Umbrella is a brand activation agency. And so what that means in layman's terms is that we work within the world of the CPG or FMCG brands. So, you know, people like, I don't know, Unilever, Diageo, Mondelez, Kellogg's, those types of brands. And really what we do is we work with them to amplify their campaigns in a retail environment. And now, as you know, the times have moved on, also within a digital and social world. And the core commercial objective for us always with the brands that we work with is to increase sales and drive data. So that is, you know, our key core function of our business. But of course, there's tentacles that happen with that. And one of them being around sports. A lot of our brands are sponsors or partners of big sporting associations, whether it's the World Cup or whether it's the Football Association or rugby. You know, we work with Guinness in rugby for years. But that means that we really need to lean into those commercial objectives even further in order to amplify that relationship.
Sure, sure. I mean, some very big brands there. And I guess the synergy between your business and ours is that we're all involved in some way in kind of in audience engagement, but we're working much more in the B2B space than you, in that kind of, as you say, the B2C space. Do you think, because you've obviously had exposures to both sides of the market, what do you think the B2B space could learn from B2C?
You know, it is such an interesting one because, of course, we've got some clients who are B2B as well. And one of the things I see a big difference is that in a B2B environment, you really have the opportunity of speaking direct. You know, in a B2C environment, we have to go through retailers and distributors, and there's layer after layer. You know, to get something live can take a year in the planning. Where I think B2B companies don't realize how much flex they have and how quick they can be to market. Now, I know the downside can be, and Matthew, you probably realize this as well. You know, if you're working for somebody with Coke, we have department within department within department of marketing teams that support. If you're in a B2B environment, those are much, much slimmer. So the burden really falls onto very few shoulders. But hey, that's why I say there's people like you, Matthew, and Umbrella out here that can help them.
Absolutely. And it's interesting to see how when a B2C business embraces some of that philosophy behind B2C, which sometimes they're a bit reticent to do, it can really pay off. That, you know, the material feels fresher, it feels more engaging. So I think it's exciting what opportunities there are for the future. And speaking of the future, you know, we tend to go through cycles at the moment where 1 minute AI is the savior of mankind and the next minute it's one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, you know, and it's going to destroy everything. Where do you sit on that kind of debate, Beth? Are you frightened about what AI is going to do to our business? Are you excited? Where do you stand?
Look, I am so excited. And, you know, the first thing is I don't work in government. And so there is going to be, and thank God for that, really. And so I'm not going to be part of probably the people that have to shape the ethics around this, because I do think with science and the rest, there is a big job to be done there. But on a day-to-day basis, AI is so incredibly useful on a day-to-day solving business problems basis. I mean, I'm just looking at some of the use cases that are out there at the moment, and everything starts with the word personal. you know, personal assistant, personalized creative, personalized product, personalized purpose. And if we just lean in that, I can just briefly mention, you know, personalization and product. Cadbury in India has done an amazing job over Diwali last year of looking at, you know, what can we really do to help the people that sell our product. And those are tiny, tiny little stores all over India. You know, they used AI to take one of the biggest stars to kind of move his mouth, move his voice, and allow each little individual little shop within India to create their own advert with a big star in it and send it out to all of their customers. I mean, it's fantastic.
I love that.
It's fantastic stuff. You know, in terms like a personal assistance, Coleman's, that is owned by Unilever, has created a, with a couple different agencies, Microsoft, Be My AI or Be My Eyes, and Zappa with a QR code, because, you know, blind people can't cook, or they're really fearful of cooking. And they've got a QR code that takes you through to an app that now speaks to you about what products you need. And if you start to need help, you then have an assistant. You can either have a live assistant, or you can take photos of what you've chopped or how the food looks. And the AI will come back and say, you know, that's not pink anymore. It looks really good. So there's this whole lovely case study of a person who went blind during COVID and has never cooked and was able to cook for the first time. And I think it's those lovely little nuggets that we are going to glean more and more out of.
Definitely. And speaking, I guess, of carrying on the conversation around the future, I'm very jealous because you got to go to South by Southwest in Austin this year. And I know you've been before as well. And that seemed to me like an amazing cauldron of new ideas and innovation and kind of what's coming around the corner. When you left Texas, what were your kind of takeaways of what's the next big thing going to be?
Well, I think, you know, it's landed that I kind of see the next big thing being an intersection of all of the transformation we've seen in the past 5 years. You know, AI algorithms have been around for a while. We have blockchain, crypto been around a while now. And I think there's going to be an intersection of transformation. There's a lot of things that are happening behind the scenes where brands are leaning into blockchain. And a lot of the apps that we're using now are based on blockchain. And as soon as that adds an element of AI, you know, that what I would call fan engagement and personalization is going to be just like on speed. Now, will it be next year? Maybe that cross section, I won't have a use case for it. But if I were to say something was on the horizon, I would definitely say when those worlds start colliding, it's going to be magic. And I also think immersive is taking off. I not only did South by Southwest, but I was lucky enough to go to GDC, the Gamers and Developers Conference, and I picked up an Apple Vision Pro while I was there. And honestly, wow. Matthew, it's a game changer. I'll have to let you wear it and, you know, watch a football match or watch theater. You know, some of that stuff we're seeing at the Sphere, or like, you know, ABBA Voyage, or some of the theatrical performances, they're going to be as intense just with the headset at home. You know, from a sustainability perspective, that headset's a real game changer, and it's only going to get better.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. And Beth and I, as you can probably tell, could go on talking forever. But that just means we're going to have to invite Beth to come back another time and tell us some more exciting stuff that we can look forward to. But Beth, thank you so much for being my guest today. And thank you all for listening. Thank you for joining us on 5 Minutes With. I'm Matthew, Chief Creative Officer of White Wall, as you know, signing off. Thank you for listening. Beth, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.